The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on August 13, 1995 at Soho Street in London, England. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 1, Verse 63 and 64.
Here we're discussing pure devotees. Earlier it said, pure devotee constantly engaged in loving service of the Lord is identical with the Lord who is always situated in his heart. So Lord, Se bhakta gana haya dvidila prokar purishadha gana sadhaka ganar. Such pure devotees are of two types, personal associates, parishats, and neophyte devotees, sadhakas. Purport. Perfect servitors of the Lord are considered His personal associates, whereas devotees endeavoring to attain perfection are called neophytes. Among the associates, some are attracted by the opulences of the personality of Godhead, and others are attracted by nuptial love of Godhead. The former devotees are placed in the realm of Vaikuntha to render reverential devotional service, whereas the latter devotees are placed in Vrindavan for the direct service of Krishna. This portion of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is covering many, many tattvas. What is the position of a devotee? What are the different kinds of our incarnations? What are the qualitative incarnations? Different types of expansions of the Lord. Since the Chaitanya Charitamrita is a postgraduate study of the Krishna conscious philosophy, so it's stating all the basic principles here. This is kind of future development of the philosophy that they're going to explain. So, there's a Lord, and there's His devotees. We're not able to experience the Lord in the material world, in our conditioned state. So He's represented by the Guru, represented by pure devotees, who come and give association, and give a experience about the Lord. Jadapi amar guru chaitanya das tathapi janiye ami tahar prakash. Although I know that my spiritual master is a servitor of Sri Chaitanya, I know him also as a plenary manifestation of the Lord. Lord Nityananda, who is Balaram himself, the first direct manifestation or expansion of Krishna, is the original spiritual master. He helps Lord Krishna in his pastimes and he is a servant of the Lord. So every living entity is a servant of Krishna. The Guru is also a servant of Krishna. At the same time, the Guru is a external manifestation. That's why it says the Guru is not different from Krishna because he's a manifestation of Krishna's mercy. Of course, if somebody thinks that the Guru is absolutely Krishna, then that's called Mayavad, or impersonal philosophy. So there's this distinction. Although their guru is a servitor, we also know that Krishna is working through the guru. So therefore their guru is offered respect like we would offer to Krishna. In the beginning of ISKCON in New York, we heard how the different new devotees that were coming, one day Prabhupada said that you should accept a guru. And they said, you know, asking, what does that mean, to accept a guru? He said, you must accept the Guru like you accept God. Whatever that Guru says, you have to take it as the word of God. God is speaking through the Guru. In other words, like we saw last night in they're called the Vaikuntha players, Bhaktivedanta players. They just did the Bhagavad Gita show, play, premiere showing at the Bhaktivedanta Manor patrons. And there they presented dramatically how Arjuna had to surrender to Krishna as his guru. Now, no more friendly discussion, shishya te ham, now I'm your disciple. Because as a friend, someone may say something. He may take it, he may leave it. Prabhupada, he made a little Bengali drama called the Advitiya Anka. I don't know, it's hard to translate that one. The act without a second. Something like that. It sounds in Bengali, it's a dual meaning. Advitiya Anka means, it's like, you say Advitiya, meaning that this one doesn't have any comparison. And it also means, like the incomparable act, it also means that there's no second, there's no following act. This is the first act, and there's no act following it. Could mean both. And the whole drama is like that. Everything that is said is a play on words in Bengali. And it's two friends talking in a tea stall. The two friends are having a chat, kind of a sit-down comedy, stand-up comedy, whatever. They're having some kind of a discussion. It's very humorous. So they're both standing or both just talking. And, you know, and the one says, you know, I've been thinking about it, and I think I want to join the chicken mission. I think that if I join the chicken mission, it would be really good for me. And this friend said, no, you don't want to join the chicken mission. I mean, what would you do then? I'd become a sannyasi. A sannyasi in the chicken mission. He said, yes. But you're married. You have a wife and children. That's not a problem. In the chicken mission, everything goes. You can have your wife at house, and in the mission you just dress like a sannyasi. On weekends you can go and visit your wife. Really? Yeah, it's very liberal there. And there's no, I mean, I know there's no dietary problem. You can eat chicken and fish and everything. You don't have to follow any rules and regulations like that, but I mean, being a sannyasi, I mean, sannyasi is sannyasi, you know, you have to follow the regulations. It's a kind of religious vow. No, but in a chicken mission, it's not like that. You know, you can do anything. And it goes back and forth like that. You know. Of course, they never say who the chicken mission is, but everybody can figure it out. There's only one mission in Bengal that serves chicken. So, but I won't mention the name. If you don't know, then it doesn't hurt you, right? If you know, then you know. So then his friend, but the point is, like you're saying, like, this is friends. So, you know, he may say something, well, but it's just all kind of, you know, you can take, no, don't do that. No, you know, it's just his friends, you know, it's like casual talk. Then his friend said, look, it, I think it's better than join the chicken mission, because no matter what, I mean, it doesn't feel right for me to be a sannyasi and, you know, not follow. But there's another religious institution. This is called the Bhojanananda Akra. I said, every word like that is all like bhojana, instead of bhajanananda. Bhajan means to worship. But then Prabhupada put bhojanananda. Bhojan means to eat. So the bliss of eating temple instead of the bliss of bhajan, worshipping the Lord. So there's a bhojanananda akra. It's really a crack up. Satire, the whole thing. And then they said, well, I never heard of that. What's the Bhojanananda Akra? Bhojanananda Akra. No, there's there. The head of that ashram is Bhojanananda Swadu. Instead of saying sadhu, it's a swadu. Swadu means, swad means taste. So Bhojanananda Swadu, another play on words, instead of saying sadhu, that someone who's really into his taste buds. So how did he get a name like that? Well, you see, he used to go around and hang around the sweet shops in North Calcutta and look for one of the big rich North Indians who likes to feed the sadhus. And then he just positioned himself in such a way that the person said, okay, can you feed the sadhu whatever he wants? And so one day he ate so many sweets that he went into sugar, seizure, and actually fell unconscious on the street from overeating rasgullas and rubbery and everything. And after that he became known as Bhojanananda Swadu. So that sounds like a good temple to be a part of. And you don't have to be a sannyasi. You can just wear white and you can get right into the mood. this was like the incomparable act, you know, he just goes on and... In other words, this is the real, but these are actually what was going on. This is kind of the real picture of what's some of the spiritual activities in India. But here these two friends, they're talking with each other. So friendly discussion, you know, you can kind of just take it or leave it. But when the guru is speaking, you have to take it serious. Of course, if we don't take what the guru says, so then we're on our own. It's our own karma we have to accept. But some people, they get really proud like that, and they say, well, I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. And that's what Krishna also, that's our free will. We have the free will to be able to do that. You can decide to do what you want to do, and then you have to take the karma. And there's no use of blaming Krishna why people are suffering when they're doing what they want to do and they're getting the reaction. But as devotees, we feel compassion for them. So why should people have to suffer like this? If they would just follow Krishna, they could be freed from suffering, freed from old age, free from disease, free from their problems. But instead we use our free will, we misuse it. I think I told the story here about the pampered child who misused their free will. So you know that example. There was a family, maybe I told them the manner, but there was a family that had one child, one boy. So they tend to shower all the mercy, all the affection, really spoil the boy. He whatever he wants. So psychologically what happened was the boy started to think that I am the center of the universe. Like I am, my parents are meant to serve me. Whatever I want, they give me. There's a danger when you have one child, is it may get spoiled. There's a danger of giving too much freedom to children. You know, you can be too heavy or you can be also too liberal. And they start thinking they're not actually prepared, because in real life you have to face things that you don't want. Right? People in the material world, they're all the time, they have bosses they don't like, they have jobs they don't like, they have different things that they don't, circumstances that they don't like, and then they have to deal with that. But if you're really protected and the parents give you whatever you want, then you start to take that for granted, that this is life, I get whatever I want. So at some point in life, you won't get what you want, and you have to... Anyway, so this is just a 9-year-old. He's just in this period where he's really spoiled. So one morning what happens, he closes the doors and windows. All his doors and windows of his house are closed. He stays in bed and just covers his head with a blanket. Doesn't open the doors, the windows, anything. So the light comes up, and by the time it's about 9 in the morning, then the parents, they think, what's going on here? You know, up to that point, though, maybe it was a late night, you know. It's like last night we had the patron dinner, went until like 1 in the morning. Sorry for being a little late. It took a while to get everyone. So the parents thought maybe the boy was up late studying or something, you know, might have been some reason. But at 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, it's time to get up, have breakfast, you know, even for Sunday, we can drive here very quickly because everybody sleeps in on Sundays, right? Except for the devotees. For us, every day is, we don't want to, sleep is death. We don't want to sleep more than we have to. So the parents start knocking on the door. Oh, little cream puff, little lotus bud, trying to get up. But the child, you know, yelled out, go away! You are dacoits! You are robbers in the night coming here! I know it's midnight! And you're coming here to rob me! Midnight? Robbers? No, our little flower. We're your parents! You are very expert robbers imitating my parents. But I will not be fooled by your impersonation. I know it's midnight and you are robbers. So go away. I won't be cheated and robbed by you. We're not robbers. We're your real parents. Oh, I don't believe you. But look, it's light out. I don't see any light in here. It's dark in here. Why don't you open the window? Ah, you're trying to trick me. Ah, I won't, no. I'm not taking my head out from this blanket. I know you're robbers in the midnight. So how do I get around this? So they're thinking about the parents. Look it. The father said, look it. Just, it's already light. There's no robbers. Just open the window. Sun is there. If the sun is there, why can't I see it? Because you got the doors and windows shut. That's why you can't see the sun. Well, the sun is so powerful, why can't it shine in my room? If it doesn't have enough power to shine in my room with the doors and windows shut, then I don't even believe in a sun. There's no sun! The kid's just like, you know, completely out there. You know. They said, just open the door and you'll see the light. And the story goes, I don't know how they ever got the kid to get out of bed, but he got hungry eventually. It's obvious the kid was just being completely mischievous, naughty, spoiled. It's free will, right? If he doesn't want to open the doors and windows, he is misusing his free will. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, just like that child misused their free will, we all have free will. But someone wants to just be stubborn. So I don't want to serve God. I don't want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do what I want to do. You can do it. That's the free will Krishna has given all of us. But then we have to take the reactions for that. You see, of course, a very stubborn person, they say, well, I don't care. I'll take the reaction. That's why there's no use in preaching to atheistic people about chanting Hare Krishna to get rid of sin or following regular principles. They say, oh, I don't care, all these things. Right? They don't. You have to first get them attached to Krishna by a very positive kind of cultivation, by being friends with them, by giving them prasadam, by them chanting Hare Krishna, by the, somehow they gradually, by good association, they start to develop an attachment for Krishna. Then they get some intelligence to really figure out that they should act in a way which is beneficial for them. And so Rupa Goswami, that's why he said, first you, by some means you get them attached to Krishna, then you can introduce the rules and regulations. So this is where devotees come in. Devotees are needed to give that positive association to the atheistic people. And here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's glorifying the devotees. Now, Vidura, he was such a great devotee. Wherever he went, it would become pure. Prabhupada was like that. Wherever he went, he brought Vrindavan with him. Gaurakishore Das Babaji had ordered his disciple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, not to go to Calcutta because it was a Kali Yuga city and it was filled with Maya. He should stay in the Holy Dham. So then in one lecture, Prabhupada explained how and why did Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur go to the big cities and preach. It's because he was going there not to enjoy, not to be in a city for sense gratification. He was going to give Krishna to people. So because he was always engaged in devotional service, and therefore he was in Vrindavan. Here in Soho Street, Radha Landanishwara Temple, right? Outside may be Kali Yuga and Maya, but in this temple it's in Vrindavan. It's a spiritual world. And if we keep our consciousness on Krishna, then we'll be in the spiritual world. And even when you go out in the street to give people books or to chant Harinam or to preach about Krishna to people, you can also remain in the spiritual world by always remembering the Lord. That's why it's very important that we have also the deities, because the deities create that environment. Technically speaking, Kali Yuga processes Harinam. We don't need temples in one sense. But practically, we do need. It's helpful for us to have the association of the deity. So that for Kali Yuga, the main process is chanting the holy names. But a supporting process is the deity worship, and therefore the whole worship system has been simplified in the Pancharatra. Before it was very rigid type of rules, using Vedic mantras that one had to chant exactly in the proper intonation and meter. This are called the Veda Agamans, and very Ranarada Muni gave a simplified process based on the Puranas called Pancharatra. And we use the Pancharatra. That's also very pleasing to Krishna, the Pancharatra system. more than being ritualistic. It's there's rituals, but it's more based on devotion and on the purity of the consciousness and desire of the devotee. So we do use both these systems. The Pancharatra supports us and purifies us. You can imagine if we didn't have a place, even though people would be preaching and doing Harinam in London, but they didn't have a temple to come to and to take their refuge, it would be much more difficult to maintain that consciousness. After seeing so many sinful and materialistic things, to be able to see the Lord in His transcendental form, to see the smiling face of Lord Jagannath and the dancing forms of Gaur-Nitai, it has a very purifying effect. To be able to bow down before Founder Acharya, Spiritual Master Srila Prabhupada, beg Him for His mercy and for forgiving us for our offenses is very important. So we have that free will. We can use it or we can misuse it. Generally people, they just are followers. This is called gada gadalika. People, they follow whatever the flow is. Like a fish, they swim in schools. And a fish, it's not like any one fish is the lead fish. Like maybe birds, when they fly, there's like a particular bird that tends to be the leader. I guess. I'm not 100% sure. But maybe the older one or something. I haven't done a study. But for sure, the fish, they don't tend to have any specific leader. It's just kind of whoever, someone goes in this way, they all go that way. And someone, they go that way. So it's kind of this going around and according to reacting to the particular, whatever the mood is. But they tend to all just move in a bunch. So in Bengal, they have a particular kind of fish trap in the rivers, based on studying fish psychology. This is a trap. It's a real simple thing. It's a bamboo kind of a basket that has a funnel entrance. So, and they put it just on the side of the road, on the river where the fish tend to swim in the schools. And if a fish enters goes by the side of the funnel, they just tend to follow the route. Then they go right inside the funnel. So it's like a big basket like this, and then the funnel kind of goes like that, and then there's all this space. So when you're inside, they always tend to go and they get stuck up on it. You know, it's very hard to find. You could find a hole and get out, but that's not their psychology. The psychology is to go along the sides and follow. So all they have to do is like one fish decides to go inside. And they all go inside. And even the ones that are caught inside, they say, hey, don't come in here! You're going to get trapped. This is a trap. So they're all going. Right? Sometimes you tell people about Krishna consciousness. They say, but there's so many people in the world, they're not accepting Krishna consciousness. Why? Right? It's like that. So many fish are going in the trap. Why not me? But we're in a trap, you know. Don't come here, you know. No, but they're all going, you know. So they all go and they all get stuck. So that's called gadaga. This following the group. And even someone said, don't do it. And they're all doing it. It's brainless. Just fish are not known to be, you know, PhDs or anything. It's kind of lower down on the intellectual development level. So they just follow it. But that's what's happening in society today, right? Somebody wears one type of hairdo, then pretty soon you see thousands with the same hairdo. Somebody wear one type of dress, everybody. And then, you know, at one point, you know, something changes, and everyone. At first you thought it was like free thinking, you know, like independent, really breaking, free, liberated mind. But after a while you figure out it's just another kind of conformity. It's just that you've chosen to conform with a particular school of fish. If you're in the punk school, then somebody wears green and red hair, then everybody, you know. Before it used to be, you know, 60s, it was the hippie. So at first everyone thought they're breaking free from society, but pretty soon it just creates another counter-society. Then they have their own rules, and then you follow their thing, and then it goes into, it became one thing or another. The people just tend to conform. So the devotees, they actually develop independent thinking. Because everyone, the whole process of devotional service is to actually exercise the intelligence and understand what are the laws of nature, what is the life, What is the source of everything? Who is the absolute truth? What are the devotees who are liberated souls? What's condition? Then gradually through all this, then decide what you want to do based on real knowledge. The devotees are actually the most independent thinking people. And they're exercising their free will. If anybody wants to, they can always walk out of the door. You know, the karmis, they think that this is a kind of a dangerous cult, some of them, and the people here are locked in, kept prisoner. You know, they don't understand it, that the whole principle of devotional service is free will. It's not at all our principle to keep anybody tied in or anything like that. I remember one time there was a girl working in a ISKCON restaurant in our temple in New Orleans. We had a restaurant at one time. And she was a sister of one initiated devotee, so she was just trying to get into devotional service, maybe chanting 4 or 8 rounds and doing some volunteer service in the restaurant. She was struggling with Maya, trying to become a devotee. There was one customer in the restaurant, and he knew this was a Hare Krishna restaurant, so then he said, "Okay, you're all alone now. Now's your chance to escape. I will help you to escape. I know you're kept here captive, you know, by the Hare Krishnas, and you can't get out." She said, "What are you talking about? So I can go out anytime I want. The door's wide open, you know. I'm struggling to stay. There's no problem leaving. It's hard to stay a devotee. That's all right." He got it all wrong. You know, the guy was all shocked. You know, Maya is always there to take us away. We're trying to think how we can cling on to the lotus feet of Krishna. So that's why it's important to appreciate Krishna's position, appreciate the position of the devotees, and actually take good association. Understand how Krishna is transcendental. Now this Chaitanya Charitamrita is actually a very deep philosophy. Very deep philosophy, covers a lot of ground very fast. Of course, in the middle it goes about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes and travels, which is an easier reading.